and blessing to you as we open up our word today to talk about why baptize. Why baptize? That's the subject of our talk today, our scripture lesson as we delve into the Word of God. Let's take a look at that for just a minute. And you know, it's very important for us to do that because of all the confusion. You know, there was a story that I heard about a pastor. He was a young, inexperienced pastor, and he was doing an evangelistic series, and at the end of it, he went out to a lake, and he was baptizing a few people there. And while he was baptizing, a man happened to come along the scenes. He wasn't very bright either. And as he came along, he saw the procession in the water, and so he decided to get up behind them. So he walks up behind this procession, and when it was his turn, the young minister turns to him and says, "Well, mister, are you ready to find grace?" And the man said, looked kind of confused, didn't know what he was talking about, and said, "Well, I guess so." And so he takes him and he dunks him under the water, pulls him back up. He says, "Mister, did you find grace?" And the man said, No, I didn't." And so, not knowing what to do, the minister took him and put him back under the water. This time he held him under the water until his legs were kicking, and finally he pulls him back up and he says, "Well, did you find grace this time?" And the man said, looked at him, and he pulled his eyes back and took the water out of his face and spit a little bit of water out and says, "Well, is this where she fell in?" You know, there's a lot of confusion about baptism today. What does it mean? Why do we do it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look into what the scriptures say about baptism, I pray that your spirit would be with the word to teach and to guide us, to lead us into all righteousness and to draw us closer to you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start. There's several things we can learn about baptism today. The first is baptism has its authority with Jesus. The authority for baptism comes from the command of Christ. Let's read that together. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. It says, Jesus says to them, "Go unto all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." You know, the truth of the gospel is that it begins with baptism. It was a command of Christ. The book of Acts is filled with baptisms. Thousands of baptisms happened in the book of Acts because it was a command of Jesus Christ. And we read in the book of Acts that even people were rebaptized by Paul because they didn't understand the truth of the gospel, so they were rebaptized. So the first thing we know is that baptism is biblical because it is the authority comes from Jesus himself, who is the one that did it. Number two, second thing about baptism is that it symbolizes a new beginning in life. It symbolizes a new beginning. Let's read our text. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Peter writes this. He says, "You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, only a few were saved then, eight to be exact, saved from the water by the water. The waters of baptism do that for you, not washing away dirt from your skin, but by presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience." You know, the imagery of baptism is that it's a new beginning. You know, the flood, if you think about the flood for a moment, the picture is eight people boarded an ark. And they were different than all the other people that were living at that time. And they were different because of this. They believed God, what he said, and they acted on it. They believed what God said, and they acted on it. And, you know, you could say that they were saved by grace through faith. Because that's what it is. They believed God, and they acted on their belief. And at the end of that ride was a new beginning. Isn't that right? At the end of that ride, the old wicked world was gone. Then this remnant of believers that were remaining began a new start. They had a fresh start, brand new beginning. And you know what? That's what baptism really means. It's a new beginning in life. It results in a clear conscience with God. And what's happened in the past is left in the past. The old world is gone. The new world is risen in your life. Jesus is Lord. You know, this song that we're going to sing in just a second, The Cleansing Wave, verse 2 goes like this. I see the new creation rise. I hear the speaking blood. It speaks of my polluted nature that dies beneath the cleansing flood. You know, Peter clearly described what baptism was like. It is like a new beginning. Can you say amen? And so baptism has its authority with Jesus, who showed us the way. Baptism has as its method a new beginning for those of us who accept Jesus Christ. And that is so cool. This new allegiance is so good. Number three, it represents a new allegiance. A new allegiance. Let's take a look at that for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. And it says, I want you to bear in mind, brothers, that all our ancestors were beneath the cloud and all passed through the sea. That is, that in the cloud and in the sea, they were underwent baptism as followers of Moses. Now, Paul was talking about what happened to the children of Israel in the days of Moses when they went through the Red Sea. And that Red Sea experience is the same experience that we have today. We have an old allegiance and a new allegiance. Let me explain what I mean. Imagine if you were, you're walking across that dry seabed, these Israelites, they must have felt pretty helpless, didn't they? At their back, they had Pharaoh, and they had come from a place where who was their Lord and when they were in Egypt? Who was the Lord of the Hebrews in Egypt? It was Pharaoh, wasn't it? They were controlled by their old nature of Pharaoh. He controlled everything. But now, helplessly, they're walking through the water. Behind them is Pharaoh. In front of them is freedom. And when I imagine when those waters subsided upon them, their allegiance to their past life was over. Wasn't that right? When they saw the waters closing in over top of them, over their past life, all of Pharaoh's men, they realized their allegiance to the past was gone. And now they have a new allegiance. And the same thing happens to us with baptism. We break the allegiance that held us in the past. You know, one of the greatest stories that I heard about that was a football guy. His name was Pat Summerall. Is anybody old enough to remember him that liked football? A couple hands raised there. Pat Summerall had an interesting story. He spent 50 years in the National Football League, first as a player, then a broadcaster, and he talked about this, his problem that he had with alcohol. Pat Summerall was addicted to alcohol. And, you know, these macho football player kind of guys, they don't want to talk about this, but one time when he went to the Betty Ford Clinic, he ran into someone who introduced him to Jesus Christ. And he writes in his book that when he was baptized, it was the most helpless feeling that he'd ever had as he went under the water and he lost his allegiance to that alcoholic problem, that addiction. And he came back up and he walked in a new life after that. Isn't that amazing? And so that's what baptism is. It symbolizes a new allegiance. It's from the command of Christ. It's a new beginning. But there's one more thing this morning that we'll talk about that talks about baptism. You see, we want Egypt broken in our lives, don't we, friends? Don't you want Egypt to be broken, no longer to have allegiance to the Pharaoh of this world, friend? That's just how you do it. Amen. And lastly this morning, it reveals a new manner of life, a new manner of life. So it's a command of Christ, a new beginning, a new allegiance, and now a new manner of life. And that's our text this morning that we just read. He says, do you not know that as many of us as have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together with the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be united in his likeness of his resurrection. Think about that, friends. You see the imagery here? How many of you can see the imagery of baptism? how it is, you know, it is so confused today that so many people have chosen the resurrection of Jesus to symbolize Sunday sacredness. But the reality is that this text shows us very clearly that the resurrection of Jesus was always to be a symbol of baptism, where the person baptized, like we just saw with Chloe, begins above living and breathing the old air, takes that last breath of that old life, comes down under that water, unites themselves helplessly, surrendering their lives to Jesus. There's no air under that water, and without air, what happens? You die. They unite themselves with Christ as he died, he was buried, and then he was resurrected to a new life. They come out of the water, and the first thing you do when you come out of that water is you take a new breath. You're united with Jesus in the likeness of his resurrection. And verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. A new manner of life. Imagine, friends, no longer slaves. No longer slaves to sin. But now, with the power of Christ dwelling in our lives, a new change, a new life has come about. You know, there's a story I'd like to tell you that people will notice. You know, Chloe, when you go back to Taiwan, people will notice something different. There's a story that was told. It was by William P. Barker. He tells the story of a machinist at the Ford Motor Company. And this is back long ago when Mr. Ford was still alive. You know, anybody old enough for that? Anybody drive a Model T? One person, okay. Well, I'm glad to see that you're still with us. But back in those days, when the Model T, or when the Ford Motor Company was actually up and operating and it had plants in other companies, there was a machinist who accepted Jesus Christ and was baptized. And after he was baptized, he had a conundrum, because that machinist realized that he had been pilfering from the Ford Motor Company. He just took machine tools home with him, and he started stealing. And so what happened was, after he was baptized, there was a new beginning, a new allegiance, and a new manner of life. And so what he did was something that many people wouldn't do. He went over to the foreman of the plant, and he sat him down and said, listen, I've just accepted Jesus. I've just been baptized, and I have been taking equipment that wasn't mine. I've got it all right here. I've returned every bit of it. You can do with me as you will. And the story goes that plant manager called Mr. Ford, or actually, you know, sent him a message. I don't know how it happened, because back in those days, how they did, they didn't have cell phones. He sent him the message over to Europe, where he happened to be. And he just was so perplexed, he didn't know what to do. And here was the answer that he got back. Mr. Ford, he was visiting a plant in Europe. He cabled the details. He immediately returned a response to the cable, and he said this: dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city. You know, people will see there's a new life there when you're baptized. Something's different now, because you've answered a command of Christ, and that's important. You've had a new beginning, you have a new allegiance, and you now have a new manner of life. And that's amazing. You know, the clearest example of baptism is actually found, in my mind, it's found long, long ago by a Greek poet. His name is Nicander. He lived about 200 years before Christ. And what we found in the ancient writings is a recipe for making pickles. And in this recipe, there's two different Greek words that are used. There's the word dipped, and there's the word baptized, which is baptizo. And it's interesting how it works. In this recipe, you take a pickle or a cucumber, and first you dip it in hot water. And then once you're done with that, you baptize it in vinegar. You see, the first one didn't change anything about the pickle or the cucumber. But the second one had a permanent change, because now it's a pickle. And the word baptize comes from that word, to make pickles. To pickle. And so what's happening here when you see baptisms is that you're seeing something amazing, because this isn't a human thing. And this is my point. Many people can go into the water and come up exactly the same. They can just get dipped. It takes faith in Christ, and it takes the Holy Spirit for someone to get pickled, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to pray for, isn't it? So what we want to do is invite Chloe back up and the elders back up, and we're going to pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit now. So let's do that. We'll have our elders come back up, and David, would you like to come up too? We're just going to kneel here real quick, and we're going to be praying to God for you. So we're going to lay hands. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit can transfer through another body, so don't worry. Would you pray with us too? Father in heaven, as John the Baptist has told us, he came to give us a baptism of repentance, but one was coming after him who was going to baptize in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Today we claim that baptism. We ask it for Chloe. We claim for the filling of the Spirit to enable her to live a victorious life in Christ. We pray for the enabling of the Spirit to use her to teach and to guide. We pray, Lord, that she is like a seed that will be planted, that will grow many for your kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, why don't we just stand for a moment and have a closing prayer today, and we'll sing our closing song, The Cleansing Wave.